From WCBU, Peoria Public Radio, this is Out and About. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois.
And this week we're talking with the Peoria Symphony Orchestra's George Stoluto. Their next concert includes music by Mozart, Rossini, and Jacques Ibert. It's tomorrow night at 8 at the Peoria Civic Center. George, it's good to hear from you again.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I thought I would start by asking a question about the Flute Concerto by Jacques Ibert. I think that's a piece that may be new to a few people. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm really excited that Kyle's playing with us. I think it's been quite a number of years since she's done a solo with the orchestra, and we have a number of really fine players in the group, and so it's nice to be able to feature them, and it's something that I want to continue to do in the future. So it's great to have Kyle on board with us doing that. The Flute Concerto itself is it's a tour de force for the flute. It was written in France and for a famous flute virtuoso, Moise. He loved it so much that he immediately made the last movement a jury piece for his students at the Paris Conservatory. So when you think of flute concertos, you know, people may not immediately think of the Ibert popularly, but flutists will think of the Nielsen Concerto, the Ibert, and then all the others. So it's really one of the top flute concertos. Very virtuosic, both for the orchestra and for the flutist, and there's a lot of interplay between the two. A lot of very playful interplay, and in the first movement, it even starts off with a joke. There's no downbeat to start the piece. So, you know, the conductor gives a downbeat, and immediately the orchestra doesn't play. So that's kind of funny. They actually start on the second eighth note of the piece. That kind of sets the mood for the first movement, which is very, I think Kyle used the word jaunty, which I liked a lot. And so there's a lot of interplay and a lot of virtuoso playing from both the flutist and the orchestra, but not insubstantial. I mean, it's not just a virtuoso piece to show off your technique. I mean, it's got a lot of musicality, a lot of very kind of subtle Frenchness, if you will. It's kind of both intense and aloof at the same time with a wonderful charm, and I think people are going to really enjoy that. And the second movement is kind of an homage to Ibert's father, who died while he was writing the concerto, and he decided to make the second movement a kind of reflection on his father, and it's very beautiful, maybe a little bittersweet. And then in the third movement we go back to again this kind of jaunty, humorous, cheerful quality, but it is it also borrows some rhythms and some idioms from jazz style, which was becoming very popular in Europe at the time.
I had a chance to hear it on YouTube, George, and I did think it was a very lively, happy tune. And it said that it was Ibert's best ever written for the flute. Why so, you think?
Well, I think that he was inspired. I mean, he was inspired to write it for his friend. It was a challenge that he welcomed, and he liked the person he was writing it for. And, you know, when you're doing a labor of love for somebody that you have great affection for, it becomes easy to be generous with your creativity.
You had mentioned earlier that the soloist is the PSO flutist Kyle Zappo. How important is it to you as the music director to be featuring the PSO's own musicians along with the guest artists that you bring in, like Jade Simmons or Andre Watts this season?
Well, I think it's important. You know, we did last season we had Marcia play that great concerto for violin and tabla by Shirish Corday, and it's nice to be able to feature the members of the orchestra that can bring to the fore their talents, their artistic interpretive abilities, and basically, you know, stack up with the other artists that we have coming in. And that's always a kind of a underlying philosophy of mine, is to not just bring in artists from outside to play, but to bring in artists and musicians from around the country, around the world, to interact with the musicians that we have here that are playing in the Peoria Symphony, and for people to go, wow, this is really great. I want to come back here. Or, you know, in Marcia's case, she was actually invited out to Boston to do a master class at the university where the composer was teaching. And so, you know, there's this interaction between the two, the outworld and the inworld of Peoria, there should be an artistic exchange, and that's why I think it's important to do this with our artists that we have in the orchestra.
I know that you'll have Rossini's Barber of Seville overture. And George, what is it about our love affair with an overture?
Some overtures are like the Reader's Digest version or, you know, the cliff notes of great operatic works. And so what ends up happening is the composer puts in them all the best themes and all the best music from the opera. So in that sense, it's kind of, I think, the reason that overtures, really great overtures, can be so enjoyable is because the composer's intent is really to put their best foot forward when presenting the music for the opera. And in a sense, they better put their best foot forward, because if they're going to ask you to sit there for 3 hours and listen to an opera, you better be intrigued by the first stuff you hear. So I think that that's part of it. It's also kind of ingrained in our culture for centuries. You know, the overture from operas way back many centuries is what eventually became the symphony. And so, you know, our abstract symphonic works kind of have their roots in theater as well. And Mozart's work, a lot of his symphonic work is inspired by his operatic style. So I think that a part of it is the drama, part of it is the, it's kind of a collection of best parts of larger masterpieces, and plus they're usually meant to last just long enough to whet your appetite for what's coming afterward.
Well, you had mentioned Mozart symphonies, and of course you have one of those on the program as well, the Prague Symphony.
Yep.
This is one of the later symphonies, and I've certainly heard the argument made that it's his greatest. Do you agree with that sentiment? And if you do, what makes this, out of all the Mozart symphonies, one of the great ones, if not the best?
Well, I'm not sure I can make the argument that it's his greatest, but that doesn't mean that it's not among the greatest. The reason I like this symphony is because, for me, it's the beginning of the kind of grand symphonic style of Mozart. You know, it's the beginning of the era that brings us the Jupiter Symphony and the 39th Symphony and the 40th, all these great kind of iconic symphonic works. And it also is the kind of beginning of the era in Mozart's style that I think is a predictor of what Beethoven was going to do. And Beethoven was really fascinated by Mozart. So I think it's because the language is big, the expression is in many senses heroic, especially the first movement of the Prague Symphony, and it's joyful while also being worldly and wise. So it's just got a dimension to it that's just a different era of Mozart's writing, and I think that's why I like it so much. So I would say it's certainly among his greatest symphonies, but you know, when you do Mozart symphonies, every time you do one, whatever you're working on at the moment is the one you think is the greatest symphony.
Is there something different about this last series of Mozart symphonies? Because when I think about the earlier symphonies, they're all delightful. They're all pleasant and tuneful and highly enjoyable. But is there something about these last half dozen or so that makes them more profound? Something about the Prague and the Jupiter and the other symphonies that you were talking about that makes them a real departure from his earlier work?
Well, you know, I'm not sure it's a departure, but what it is an evolution. And I really believe that with Haydn and Mozart in this time period, music is really making a move toward incorporating much more of the human existence into its expression and its statement. It's becoming more psychodramatic. It's becoming more intellectual as well as emotional. It's becoming more than just entertaining and more than just tuneful, but it's becoming more wrought with great questions. And, you know, for me, it gets to what I call a being state. And sometimes, you know, people say that art imitates life, and we exist in our state of being. Every day that we exist is wrought with conflicts or contradictions and ironies and joys and sorrows at the same time, and victories and frustrations all going on inside one person. And I think that the music of Mozart at this time period starts to turn toward that. He also started to become more interested in the counterpoint toward the end of his life. And, you know, we can certainly see in the great works of Bach that that profundity comes through in the ability to have lines almost having conversations with each other or even arguments with each other. And I think the Prague Symphony in many ways has a lot of that going on. So I think that's what it is. There's something about the language that addresses a deeper part of human existence than just the entertainment side of things.
When I heard a sample of the Ravel piece, I thought, could that be why you named the concert Kaleidoscope? Because in my opinion, I almost thought it was contemporary, something you'd hear at an upscale nightclub.
Well, this concert's really interesting because it's got a lot of varieties of styles on it, and it's got a lot of varieties of styles that are imitated in different styles by the composers who wrote them. So, for instance, the Ravel looks back at the time of Couperin and the French Baroque and kind of emulates that style through the prism of a 20th century master. The Mozart Symphony doesn't emulate a different style, but you know he wrote it while he was in Prague, and everybody knows him as somebody from Vienna and Salzburg. But the fact is that Mozart was really in love with his time in Prague, and he used to say that the Czechs get my music. So here you have a kind of homage to a different society or a different city than what he would call his home, And, you know, in the Iber, you've got use of other styles that were becoming popular and interesting. So there's a lot on this concert. And if you were looking into a kaleidoscope, you're also looking through hundreds of different little glass prisms within that kaleidoscope. And that's what creates all the colors. And that's why I named it what I did, because I just think it's a wonderful collection of charming, exciting, meaningful works of music that sometimes we take for granted until we look at them all together.
And finally, in this concert, the PSO has recently concluded a young artist competition, and you've got the competition winner performing as part of the program?
Yes, that actually was the Peoria Symphony Guild, which holds that solo competition every year, and I'm happy to report that they've had the largest number of participants that they've had in many years, so that is continuing to grow. And we have a young cellist who won the competition this year, and he is going to be presented along with his other two colleagues. The first three winners will be presented to the audience and introduced, and then he will play a short solo with piano after the overture. After we present him with his award. You know, it's an exciting thing to be able to present a young artist and somebody who's just in that early part of development. And, it's a great service that the Guild provides by having this competition, and not only for people that win, but just for the opportunity to compete is important. And so it's a pleasure to be able to introduce them on the program.
Speaking of young artists, can you share another nice touch that the people will see as they enter the area with the flute choir performing?
Yeah, I think that's really appropriate, given that Kyle's our soloist for the evening. And so the flute choir playing from the Youth Symphony, I think, is going to be a great touch for the people as they come in and are getting some coffee or a glass of wine before they go into the performance. It's a nice way to set up the evening.
We've been talking with George Stelluto, music director of the Peoria Symphony Orchestra. They are in concert tomorrow night at the Peoria Civic Center Theater. George, thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
And Nathan, another event this weekend, the Peoria Art Guild unveils an excitingly tasteful event with Sheer Attitude. It's their Nude Attitude exhibit from 9 p.m. to midnight tonight. There'll be figurative artwork, performing arts, live drawing sessions, entertainment, and libations. Each level of the Foster Arts Center will become slightly more exposed, with visual arts on the upper level, interactive elements on the main level, and live model art education on the lower level. So for a new attitude, stop by tonight and see a nude attitude.
And finally, Suzette, Bradley University Theater is presenting A Raisin in the Sun, the play by Lorraine Hansberry. It's being directed by WEEK's Gary Moore. Performances are tonight through Sunday, and then next week, Thursday to Sunday.
Out and About is a production of WCBU Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you with the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Brian Tranowski. You can go to our website to subscribe to our weekly podcast. That's at wcbufm.org. I'm Nathan Irwin. This is Out and About on WCBU.